Ephesians 5, verse 1. Let's hear God's holy word. Be ye therefore followers of God as dear children, and walk in love as Christ also hath loved us, and hath given himself for us an offering and a sacrifice to God for a sweet smelling savor. But fornication and all uncleanness or covetousness, let it not be once named among you as becometh saints, neither filthiness, nor foolish talking, nor jesting, which are not convenient, but rather giving of thanks. For this ye know, that no whoremonger, nor unclean person, nor covetous man, who is an idolater, hath any inheritance in the kingdom of Christ and of God. Let no man deceive you with vain words, for because of these things cometh the wrath of God upon the children of disobedience. Be not ye therefore partakers with them. For ye were sometimes darkness, but now are ye light in the Lord. Walk as children of light. For the fruit of the Spirit is in all goodness and righteousness and truth, proving what is acceptable unto the Lord. And God will add his blessing to that reading from his word for his name's sake. Would you please bow your head for a moment with me and ask the Lord to open up your heart to his truth tonight. Let's all pray. Our gracious God and Father, we come again to the throne of grace to pray for this meeting, to pray for this message, for these people, and for thy servant. We are not ignorant of the devil's devices. We know, Lord, he is an enemy to thy truth. We know he opposes any time thy truth is declared. We know tonight, therefore, there will be opposition. But in the name of Christ Jesus, thy Son, and on the ground of his shed blood, we pray, thou wilt defeat Satan. Thou wilt give that word of thine free course to run through our hearts without any hindrance. May we find tonight its power overwhelming us, convicting us, instructing us, showing us clearly, this is the way, walk ye in it. In Christ's name we pray, amen and amen. In the beginning, God created the heaven and the earth. And the earth was without form and void, and darkness was upon the face of the deep. And the Spirit of God moved upon the face of the waters. And God said, let there be light. And there was light. And God saw the light, that it was good. And God divided the light from the darkness. It's significant that the first occurrence in Scripture of God speaking is when he created light. I'm not suggesting for a moment that he didn't speak in the creation of the heaven and the earth. I'm only pointing out that the first time you have reference to God speaking, it's when he created light. And his very next act in the creation process was to separate the light from the darkness. And God divided the light from the darkness. I remind you that at this point in time, the sun, the stars had not been created. That was on the fourth day. Right now, God said, let there be light. And there was light. And he divided the light from the darkness. As far as the earth itself is concerned, and the people that would eventually populate the earth, that was a good thing when God divided the light from the darkness. As Matthew Henry put it, as the light of the morning befriends the business of the day, so the shadows of the evening befriend the repose of the night and draw the curtains about us that we may sleep the better. But there is in that dividing of the light from the darkness the foundation of a theological truth. Lift up God's separation of light from darkness for a moment into the spiritual realm. God is light, John says, and in him is no darkness at all. Yes, he dwells in light unapproachable, but the Holy Ghost says God is light. Like he said that God is love. God is light. And in him is no darkness at all. The Apostle Paul, based upon that truth, writes to the Corinthian believers and says, "Be ye not unequally yoked together with unbelievers, for what fellowship hath righteousness with unrighteousness, and what communion, what fellowship hath light with darkness?" Because God has divided the light from darkness. He tells the Colossian church that God hath delivered us from the power of darkness and hath translated us into the kingdom of his dear Son, the kingdom of light. Taken from the kingdom of darkness and put us in the kingdom of light. When you bring this idea of light and darkness into the spiritual realm, you find that Scripture uses light as an emblem of truth, an emblem of holiness, an emblem of good works, of spiritual knowledge and spiritual life, even an emblem of joy. But then it uses darkness to speak of sin and moral corruption, evil deeds, spiritual ignorance, spiritual blindness. There is God in the spiritual world dividing the light from the darkness. It is this fact that introduces my text this evening found in verse 8. "For ye were sometimes darkness, but now are ye light in the Lord. Walk as children of light." He speaks of that darkness back in chapter 4 as he describes the walk of the lost in verses 17 through 19. "This I say therefore, and testify in the Lord, that ye therefore henceforth not walk as the other Gentiles walk, in the vanity of their mind, having the understanding darkened, being alienated from the life of God through the ignorance that is in them, because of the blindness of their heart, who being past feeling have given themselves over unto lasciviousness to work all uncleanness with greediness." Paul says, you used to live like that. You were darkness. But now you are light. God is light. You are light. So, live, walk, behave yourself as children of light and not as children of darkness. The Apostle Peter puts it like this in his first epistle. Ye are a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, and holy nation, a peculiar people, that ye should show forth the praises of him who hath called you out of darkness into his marvelous light. Now, it's stating the obvious, I know, but sometimes what is so obvious in God's word is missed by the Lord's people. If the Holy Spirit has made so much, he's made so much in the word of this idea of light to teach us the gospel, to teach us about the Christian life, and he has. I've only given you a smattering of verses. My, there are so many that are based upon this idea of God dividing light from darkness. If he has done that to show us how we are to live in this world of darkness and live in this age of darkness, in this land of darkness, then we need to make much of it as well, both in our preaching, in our praying, in our thinking, and ultimately in our living. If he emphasizes it, we need to emphasize it. If it's stressed by the Holy Ghost, we would be unspiritual to do otherwise. With that in mind, I want to speak tonight from verse 8 simply on walking as a child of light. Walking as a child of light. The first thing I want you to see are the distinctions of the children of light. The distinctions. By the sheer fact that Paul has made this contrast between light and darkness, between believers and unbelievers, you can conclude that there are clearly identifiable things that distinguish a child of light from a child of darkness, between a believer and an unbeliever, all under this canopy of light and darkness. First, the difference between the Christian and the non-Christian is such that there should be no difficulty recognizing the difference. That's the first thing we gather. There should be no difficulty whatsoever in recognizing the difference between a child of light and a child of darkness. You can't think of light and darkness without realizing the obvious distinction. In fact, we use the phrase, do we not? They're as different as night and day. We're describing something. It's as different as night and day. That's an obvious, unmistakable distinction. Perhaps there's no better place to see the kind of difference that exists between the two than from this vantage point of regeneration, of being born again. You really see it there. Regeneration, you see, is not simply a resurfacing of an individual's life. It's not a little improvement on the outside. It's something where he is actually reborn. You can't think of anything more drastic than someone being reborn. A Christian is not one who has merely taken off his old tattered clothing and he's put on a new Sunday suit. A child of light is not someone who has simply gotten a haircut and shaved off a very unkempt beard and taken a bath and started attending church. He's not someone, what I'm saying is this, he's not someone who's just cleaned up his act. Children of darkness can clean up their acts. That's not being born again. There is no more stark concept than the new birth to show this distinction, this division that God has set between light and darkness. If any man be in Christ, he's a new creature, a new creation. What's a creation? Well, what did God do? In the beginning, God created. He brought something out of nothing. That's phenomenal. The child of light is the creative handiwork of God. He's a child of light because he has undergone this very radical change in his very nature. So much so, you could imagine if we had been there, the radical change that took place when God said, remember, he created the heaven and the earth, and darkness was upon the face of the earth and the waters, and God said, let there be light, and there was light. Can you imagine the degree of the change that you would have seen from what was there until God said, let there be light? Notice how Paul puts it. Ye were sometimes darkness, but now are ye light. Ye were versus ye are. Again he says, ye were sometimes. At one time you were this, but now. These are the terms that Scripture uses to describe this clear distinction that exists between children of darkness and children of light, believers and non-believers. You know, this whole theory, and it's still alive and well. I got a blog article last week or the week before that dealing with this very, very same thing. This whole theory about the carnal Christian must be examined in light of what Paul is teaching in this text. It just says it once and for all. It deals with it. You know, the story goes like Mr. Smith is, because of a well-intentioned Christian worker, he is led to make a decision. They call it a decision for Christ. And after he makes that decision, he is promptly baptized and joins the local church. But after a while, many times it's not too long a while, you never see Mr. Smith in church again. And when it's asked why Mr. Smith doesn't come to church anymore and he doesn't read his Bible anymore and he doesn't pray, in fact, Mr. Smith carries on his life the way he did before he made his decision and got baptized and joined the church. When it's asked why that's the case, the reply has been, he's just a carnal Christian. He hasn't made Christ Lord of his life yet. But I bring you back to our text, and according to what the Holy Ghost is saying here, that simply cannot be. You were this, but now you are this. The distinction is obvious. It will be seen. When I look at light, when you look at light, there's no question in your mind about what you're looking at. You don't get up in the morning with the sun just there in the sky and say, I don't know if it's nighttime or it's daytime. It's clear to you, isn't it? It's so clear. It's simple. When I look at darkness, I know it's dark. It's true there are times when the light is not shining so brightly, but it's still light and it's still shining. There are times when God's people, children of light, there are times when they lose out with God. And they live for a season out of fellowship with the Lord. And their light doesn't shine brightly. Their lamps aren't trimmed. The imagery of the Near Eastern oil lamp that had to be trimmed for the wick. The wick had to be trimmed for it to burn brightly. Their lamps aren't trimmed. And when that happens, they give off a very noxious odor. And the smoke is offensive. But it's still light. It's not a bright light. But it's still light. The fact is, they cannot continue to live in that state. And they cannot continue to live in that state ad nauseum, because there has been an entire change that's taken place in their nature, because they've been born again. And God says that any work that He has begun in a life, He will finish the work that He's begun. So you don't want to make the tragic mistake of many and assume that anyone is saved regardless of how they're living now because of some decision they've made in the past. It's light. You are light. That brings me to a second distinction about the children of light. They are light. And they are not an admixture of light and darkness. Light and darkness are forever opposites. At creation, God divided light from darkness, and in salvation, He has divided light from darkness as well. I should make something clear. Paul is not dwelling here on the way in which we pass from darkness into light, or the exact time when we pass from darkness into light. Some Christians I have talked to over the years have gotten really worried about the fact that they can't tell you the exact time and place that they were saved. That's because of the nonsense that's come from pulpits saying you need to know the exact time and place when you're saved. It's nonsense. It's absolute nonsense. Yes, there are Christians who can tell you, I was brought to Christ, I put my faith in Him, at this place, this hour, this day, I know it. But there's a whole host of others that can't tell you that. They're children of light, but they don't know when. But they'll tell you now, I'm one of His. God works differently. And it is foolish to try to say it's got to be done this way in everyone, every time. With some, the light of God, the light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ, to quote Paul, that light has dawned slowly in their soul. Others, it's like they have been sitting in a dark room and suddenly somebody came on and switched on the light. Don't misunderstand me. Regeneration is always instantaneous. It's not a process. It's an act of God. But the people who are regenerated don't have all the same experience and just how it affects them. That's what I'm saying. That's not the issue Paul is dealing with here. The question that the apostles' comments raise is not when or how that you passed from darkness into light, but can you say about yourself, I am this, and I am no longer that? That's the question. Because He said, you are light. You were sometimes darkness, but you are light. So now can I say, I was this, but I am this now. The question is, are you spiritually alive or not? It's one or the other. There's no in-between here. There's no admixture. You know, I'm half alive. You know there's no such thing. You're dead or you're alive. And there is no in-between. So tonight, in the physical realm, as I look out, there's one little girl who looks like she's dead, but she's not. You're all alive physically. You're not dead. There's no one that's half dead here or half alive. But in the spiritual realm, you're alive or you're dead. You're a child of light or you're a child of darkness. It's either or. You cannot be half a Christian, a partial believer. Now you may be, if I can take the words of the Apostle Paul, you may be almost persuaded to be a Christian. But that has nothing in common with this foolish notion that I'm almost a Christian. There's no such thing as an almost Christian. A man or a woman who is almost a doctor will know a lot about medicine. But someone who is almost persuaded to be a doctor may know not the first thing about medicine. That scribe we saw this morning who came to Christ to pose that question, what's the greatest commandment of all? Upon hearing Christ's response to his question, he answered him wisely. And Mark says, seeing that he answered him wisely, Christ said to him, thou art not far from the kingdom of God. But surely you get the message, don't you? He may have gone a long way toward the kingdom in the right direction. But when you say you're not far from the kingdom, you're saying still you're not in the kingdom. You've come a long way, but you're not in it. Because you can only be either in the kingdom or out of the kingdom. You're light or you're darkness, and there is no admixture of the two. It's in or out, saved or lost, Christian or non-Christian, not both and. So what Paul is saying here is that this matter of being a child of light is so clear that we should know it as well as we would know there's light and there's darkness. And not only should we know it, but everybody else should know it. You know when it's day and when it's night. But the tragic thing in the church today is that this emphasis in God's Word that there must be a clear distinction between the children of darkness and the children of light has been lost. Rather, there's a lot of confusion here. Teachings have come into the church that have blurred these lines. Morality has become mixed up with Christianity, as if they're the same thing. And they're not. The law, man's adherence to the law has been viewed as the same thing as holiness. And it's not. The biblical standards of holiness and purity, of living as a child of light, have been watered down or lost altogether. It's been assumed that if you just live a good life, you're a Christian. If you raise a good family and you're a good neighbor and you go to church and you do good things and you're not a drunk or a wife beater or a cheater and all those other things, you got to be a Christian. And so people are left believing that all one needs to do, therefore, is to make this decision and walk down the aisle of the church and sign the card and say the prayer. And now they assume that I'm a child of light. But there's no thought given to this absolute and utter necessity, having this distinction between light and darkness in the life. It's like it doesn't even cross the mind that I am a child of light and therefore people should see that I'm a child of light. That I'm not a child of darkness. The lost should see I'm not one of them. And I don't have to make my tongue the primary instrument and say, oh, I'm a Christian. They should know it, brothers and sisters.
Amen.
They should know it. Just like you know it's light. And you know what darkness is. This light in the third place is a light that shines from within. Ye are light, he says, in the Lord. Yes, the light shines on the outside. That's why Christ said we are the light of the world. We shine on the outside, meaning the world will see the light. But the light that shines on the outside is because there is a light within us. He says they are in the Lord. And that means the Lord is in them. Paul told the Corinthian believers, did he not? God hath shined in our hearts. So there is this real, real, true inner light, if you'll let me use that expression. This inner light that shines in the heart of every true child of God. It's not simply that he has been enlightened, that he has a different thought process now. He does. But the light of God has shone within his heart, meaning the whole man. The light, how will I put this? This light that lightens the Lord's people when the Lord saves them, it is so powerful, it permeates. There's not one area of a man's soul that is not reached by that light. Not one area, which means there is not one area that light will not shine from. That means practically that it will shine in how we think. It means it will shine in what we love and what we hate. It means it will shine in what we desire and what we turn ourselves away from. It will shine in what we want. Above anything else in life, it will shine there. It has to. It's light. And it's inside. There will be an agreement with light. And not an agreement with darkness. Yes, you will recognize darkness. You will recognize darkness when you see it, because the light of Christ
is shining within your soul, enabling you to recognize that is darkness. I don't mean to say that there's no ignorance among God's people. There's ignorance among all of us. We're in a school that we'll never ever get out of. Even in glory, we'll have so much to learn. We have ignorance that needs to be removed by the light. I sure hope that's why you come. At least one of the reasons why you come week by week. I need more light, Lord. If I'm going to shine brighter this week than I did last week, if I am going to be a brighter light in my own home, to my own wife or to my own husband or to my children, I need to get more light from you. I'm not going to shine as I could shine if I don't get more light. Which means the ignorance will be replaced with knowledge. But the point I'm making here is that there has been such a radical change that has taken place on the inside. Not talking perfection. That's a different time and a different topic. Paul is writing to these Ephesian believers who were living in as dark of times as we are. They were surrounded by darkness. Paganism. They faced it every day in that city of Ephesus. Now Paul says, you walk not like the pagans, not like those unbelieving Gentiles, but you walk as the children of God, as dear children, and you walk as children of light. Display it. That brings me to the second point. I'll not be as long here as I was on the first, which is the display of light in the children of light. That's the distinctions now. They're there, can't deny them. What about the display of this light as children of light? All right? Listen, folks, I'm only trying to emphasize what the Scripture emphasizes. And it says, if you're really interested in being a child of light, then, hey, you know, it's a no-brainer. I want to know what it looks like if it's going to be displayed. Right? I want to display the light. You were sometimes darkness, but now are ye light in the Lord. Walk as children of light. In other words, let your light shine before men. Let your light shine before the lost and before the saved. Before the church, before the family. Let your light shine. How does that happen? Well, from this passage, the greatest display of the light that is within us as children of light is seen by the fruit they bear. I went on to read. Immediately after writing, walk as children of light, Paul says what? For the fruit of the Spirit is in all goodness and righteousness and truth. The fruit of the Spirit. He's talking about walking as a child of light because the fruit of the Spirit is this, this, this. There's nothing more natural for a fruit tree to do than to bear fruit. Right? It's a fruit tree. It's as natural for a Christian to bear spiritual fruit in his life as it is for a an apple tree to bear apples or a peach tree to bear peaches. It's natural. This display of the light from within, this bearing of the spiritual fruit, isn't something that can be forced, coerced. And certainly artificial fruit doesn't work. A good tree, Christ said, will produce good fruit. You can count on it. And walking as children of light is walking in purity, walking in holiness. And holiness will be nothing more, nothing less than the outgrowth of the light of the life of God that's within. Simply from abiding in Christ and Christ abiding in us, that's His light in us, it comes. Fruit. Can't force it, manufacture it. You can try your best to hang the artificial fruit on the tree, but at the end of the day, it's still artificial. It didn't come from within. The display of this light means that there should always be a steady growth and development in the children of light. Fruit brings in the idea of growth of the tree. But I got to point out, folks, that this, if I can keep with this example that the Spirit of God has given of a fruit tree, a fruit tree doesn't suddenly appear one morning when you wake up just loaded with fruit. You would be foolish to expect that. Someone will think you've got a problem. Well, I planted that tree yesterday and I woke up this morning and there wasn't any fruit on it. Well, of course, you know that's ridiculous. And it's also ridiculous to think that all of a sudden when someone becomes a child of light, they're going to have this bounding fruitfulness in their life. It's not going to happen. It's not going to happen. First you see the buds, then come the blossoms, then you begin to see the fruit. That's the Christian. Truth be known, we would like to wake up Sunday tomorrow morning and be loaded with spiritual fruit. Wouldn't you? Wouldn't you like to wake up tomorrow morning and just be loaded with spiritual fruit? You would get up out of that bed ready and eager to meet that day, and your heart is bounding with love. And the first words out of your mouth isn't some gripe or groan or complaint because your wife didn't fix your eggs right. No. You're just exuding love. And you're so full of joy. And the peace is unbelievable. They're going to come and foreclose on your house, but you're fine. You don't have one red penny to pay the electric bill, and they're going to shut your power off. But you're okay. The future, it seems so bleak. But you have the calmest of hearts. You wake up tomorrow morning and you're just so patient. You don't snap at the kids. You don't lay on the horn at the traffic light? Because that guy is just sitting there and you're in a hurry to get somewhere and I'm going to let him know he's made me very unhappy. Oh, no, no, no. You have the fruit of long suffering. And when someone insults you, attacks you, you calmly say, that's okay. I'm not going to strike back. I am to love my enemies and do good to them that despitefully use me and pray for them. Oh, wouldn't it be wonderful if we could just wake up tomorrow morning and that's how we are? But that's not how it works. We are light. And we do have fruit. But what Paul is, by the very imagery of the fruit, what Paul is saying, there is this element of growth and development and maturity. You will save yourself a lot of grief and you'll save a lot of other people a lot of grief if you just keep that on tap. Ready to pull up. You should be able to recognize a child of light and a child of darkness. It's that clear. But don't confuse the lack of abounding, abundant fruit with being a child of darkness. The child of light shows that he's a child of light, from what Paul says here, by looking to prove, discover, find out. What pleases God? Verse 10. You are light. Walk as children of light. Yes, the fruit of the Spirit is in all goodness and righteousness and truth, proving what is acceptable unto the Lord. How do we display light? That we're children of light. Well, I want to find out what God, who is light, what's acceptable to him and what's not acceptable. I'm not talking now about, you know, testing what's clearly written in the Word of God. There's no need to question it to find out, is this God's will or not? And we would do ourselves a whole lot of good if we found ourselves growing in the knowledge of God's Word, the main revelation of His will. There wouldn't be a lot of questions we have about whether something that we do or not do is pleasing to God. I'm talking about those things where we legitimately don't know whether this thing is something that God approves of. So the child of light is going to say, I'm a child of light and I don't want to go into darkness. I don't want to do darkness. So I have to ask myself the question, is it going to do me good spiritually? Is this thing that I want, is this thing that I want to engage in, this path I want to go down, is it going to do me good spiritually or will it harm me? Is this friend going to do me good spiritually, or is my friendship with this individual going to harm me spiritually? Is this friend going to bring me closer to my God, or is it going to take me farther away from my God? Those are the kinds of questions you ask. Is it going to do me good spiritually? Because if it isn't, then you've proven the Lord's will. It's unacceptable to Him. Will it enhance my testimony as a child of light? Or will it hurt it? It doesn't matter how many other people are doing it. Will it enhance my testimony as a child of light? Or will it be detrimental to my testimony? Will I give people reason to call into question whether or not I am a child of light? If it does, then it's not acceptable to God.
Does it correspond? Does it agree with the Word of God? Does it agree with His truth? Or is it contrary to what is written in the book of God?
That's how I display I'm a child of light. Finally, the child of light demonstrates, he displays that they are light by having no fellowship with the unfruitful works of darkness. So Paul says in verse 7, after describing those unfruitful works of the children of darkness, be not ye therefore partakers with them. Do not, same word, fellowshippers with them. Do not. That's how we display. That's how we become lights in the world. Will it make you popular? No. Not in the world. Will it bring the praise of men? Nope. Folks, the light, let me change it. Darkness has never loved the light. Darkness has always despised the light. You will be despised. You'll be disapproved. But a child of light only wants God's acceptance. God give us the grace that He's promised to give us to walk as children of light. The Lord write that word on our hearts for His name's sake. Let's bow our heads, folks, in prayer and seek the Lord together. Father in heaven, we bless Thee for the day we were brought from the kingdom of darkness into the marvelous light of Thy Son. We thank Thee, Lord, that the light, in spite of our fainting fits in the Christian walk, Thy light has been getting brighter as Thou didst promise. We do know more of Thee than we did when we started this journey. We thank Thee, Lord, there's more fruit in us than there was many years ago when we were babes in Christ. And Thou hast called us afresh tonight to a life of light, of purity, of separation from the darkness. Wherever that darkness may show itself, Lord, speak to us on a very personal level. Give us that discernment of Thy will, that we might prove what is acceptable to Thee. Let it be a week, Lord, where we enjoy Thy goodness toward us, as we heard this morning. And our response to that goodness would be to walk in Thy light. In Jesus' name we pray, amen and amen.